flip the numbers. Does that help you?
Actually, my friend did that to me my birthday. And so as a joke, I said, okay. And so I have a picture of me at 24 and at 42. And I was like, you know, I actually look better now. So that's okay. It's all right. So.
Jill Wolf. I am Jill Wolf. I'm 34 years old, and today is September 13th, 2014. We're at the Chicago Cultural Center, and my relationship to the storyteller is friend and advocate.
Hi, my name is Andrea Wilson. I am 42 years old. Today is September 13th, 2014. We are at the Chicago Cultural Center, and my relationship to the interviewer is friend and advocate.
Andrea, thanks a million for coming almost all the way across the nation to be here with me today. Tell me a little bit about what you do when you're not sitting here with me.
I am the president and founder of Blue Fairy, the Adrian Wilson Liver Cancer Association, and our mission is to prevent, treat, and cure primary liver cancer, specifically hepatocellular carcinoma, also known as HCC, through research, education, and advocacy.
And what got you into interest in HCC and liver cancer?
Well, I started Blue Fairy because I raised my younger sister, Adrian, from the time she was 8 years old until she passed away from liver cancer at the age of 15. I came home from work one day and found Adrian curled up in a fetal position, and she was saying, I can't breathe, sissy. So we went to her pediatrician immediately, and then he sent us to the local hospital. And we saw the doctor. Adrian got a CAT scan. And within 6 hours, an ER doctor came in and said she has tumors in her liver and lungs. So just like that, 6 hours and 8 words later, our lives changed forever. And Adrian passed away 147 days later.
Wow. Well, understandable why you're passionate about this cause, and sounds like passionate about your sister as well. How did your sister get liver cancer?
Well, I didn't know it at the time, but over 70% of the people diagnosed with primary liver cancer have hepatitis B and or hepatitis C. So the doctors tested my sister right away, and it turned out she had chronic hepatitis B and hepatitis C. And due to her age and our mother's medical history, they determined that she got hepatitis from our mother during childbirth. And unfortunately, liver cancer people with liver cancer, advanced liver cancer, don't usually experience pain until the advanced stage, especially if they're otherwise healthy.
And so oftentimes by the time there is advanced, where there would be pain, it's the disease is so advanced that it's more difficult to treat.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's what happened with your sister.
That's exactly what happened. She was already in what they call stage four because it had metastasized to her lungs.
Wow. What do you remember most about your sister, Adrian?
Oh, well, she called me sissy. I really miss that. She was a wonderful artist. Her artwork had been displayed in 3 galleries in Los Angeles. Her favorite holiday, which is coming up, was Halloween, and we always went to haunted houses together. That was our thing to do. She loved music. Her favorite musician was Dave Navarro from Jane's Addiction, and she met him twice when she was ill. And she loved to test my music IQ. She would put in CDs and have me guess the singer or the band. And when I would get the answer wrong, and I would always get the answer wrong because our taste in music was so different, she would roll her eyes at me and say something like, Trent sounds nothing like Perry, sissy.
So she was funny and smart.
Yes, yes. Very, very funny. Yes.
Wow. And let me ask, tell me some of the costumes that you all would go to at these favorite Halloween holidays.
Oh, well, she was Cleopatra one year, and then she got into sort of a dead prom queen phase. Actually, her first costume in L.A., she was a dead prom queen, and it was a horrible, horrible Halloween. It was pouring rain. We went trick-or-treating in Beverly Hills, which turns out is not as good as you would think it would be. And
you don't get huge candy bars you really or don't, gold rings no. or anything. Okay.
But everyone who answered the door kept calling her Carrie. And she was very disappointed because she thought no one got her Halloween costume. And, I mean, they loved it. They thought it was hysterical. And then several years later, I finally let her read the book Carrie by Stephen King. And she realized that everyone got her Halloween costume that year. So, yeah.
Wow. Did you ever watch that movie together?
I don't remember if we did or not. Yeah.
I wouldn't. That would scare me. So why Blue Fairy? And I also want to mention the fairy is spelled differently, F-A-E-R-Y.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that and a little bit about Blue Fairy and why.
Okay. Well, when I was naming the organization, I sent out an email to family and friends saying, you know, I don't know what to do. I know I want Adrienne's name in it to honor her memory. But it has to have liver cancer, of course, so people know what we do. But there's just something completely missing here. And I received 10 responses back, and every single person put together some version of Blue Fairy. Blue is Adrienne's favorite color, and she loved fairies. And she always spelled it with an E because she thought the British version was so much better. She always wanted to go to England and Ireland anyway, she shaved off her blue hair. It was blue before she started chemotherapy. And a friend of ours bought her a blue wig to maintain her look. So she wore a blue wig that summer, a little blue bob. And then she bought a pair of blue butterfly wings and started wearing them around. And pretty soon everyone, including the staff at Children's Hospital, started calling her our blue fairy.
Mm. So... Wow, beautiful story. Fitting. And then all of the friends and family that you had just sort of casted a net to about names, they all came up with the same.
They all came up with some version of that. And I'm so grateful because it just never even occurred to me. It really, really didn't. And then our friend who designed the logo based the picture of the blue fairy, the face specifically, on my sister.
Wow. It's a beautiful brochure that covers, I mean, the picture, all of it. It's very eye-catching, and your sister's, those eyes.
Yeah, thank
really
you.
Really stick out. So I want the question here, I mean, I want to know, did you learn something from your sister? And the clear answer is yes. So really I want to know, what can you share with us about what you've learned from your sister and the journey you've been on together?
Well, I think it's important to remember that Adrienne was 15 when she was diagnosed. She was ending her freshman year of high school. Mm. She's very young. And she never felt sorry for herself. Every person who came into her hospital room, she would make them laugh. And I saw moments of sadness, of course, frustration, anger, happiness. But I never saw Adrienne ask why me, when the entire time she was sick I was asking why her. And her attitude really with everyone was try me. She just didn't have an ounce of self-pity. And you know, people will always ask you, who was your hero growing up? Who was your hero, Jill, growing up?
Gosh, I think at the time probably my mom.
Your mom?
Yeah.
Okay. Mine was Wonder Woman. I was obsessed with Wonder Woman growing up. And my sister Adrienne, to me, is Wonder Woman. Mm. You know, she's my hero now, truly. And my goal, I've made it my goal to live my life with as much dignity, grace, and definitely humor that she possessed during her 147-day battle with liver cancer.
Wow. There's a few things. I mean, to go with your sister's humor, Wonder Woman definitely shared the blue eyeshadow there.
With, right?
You know, the blue eyes there. And you say her 140, how many days?
147
days. 147
days.
And she wasn't ill before that. I mean, there was nothing that...
No, she wasn't. She actually had just tried out for the dance team for the following year. And made it to the advanced dance class. I mean, she had been active every single day.
And then, boom, she was in crazy pain.
Yeah.
Do you think that Adrienne had an idea that she was going to die? You think she knew?
Not until she became sick. Mm-hmm. But then she really understood her body. And she kept a journal online that I was never allowed to read. And she actually started the journal prior to her diagnosis. And
why?
Well, she was a writer. She always kept a journal, and then we finally got a computer and came into the modern age, and she started journaling online, and she gave the address to everyone except me, so mm-hmm. other adults in her life would monitor it and just, you know, let me know if they were concerned about anything, and so I never read it, and I didn't read it for many years, and I still haven't read it from beginning to end, but I have read parts of it now. And it's very interesting to look at the beginning when it started, just, you know, at the beginning of her freshman year of high school. And then and she wrote almost every day. Mm. And then she hadn't written for 3 weeks. And that's because she'd been in the hospital. And she comes back and says, you know, hey, guys, sorry I've been gone for so long, but I was diagnosed with liver cancer. And she tells the whole story. And then she chronicles her whole illness. And she really knew when she took a turn for the worse. And it happened, and she was diagnosed in May of 2001, and then she took a real turn for the worse in August. And I actually thought she was maybe getting better because she'd had her fourth round of chemo. It went really well, and we were in and out of the hospital really fast, and she wasn't in pain, and she seemed to be feeling better. But according to her journal, she knew at that point that she was going to die.
What did she indicate on there? I mean, knowing her own body that way.
She said that she knew she was dying. She sent an email to a friend that I later found that said, you know, telling him to live life and have fun, enjoy his life, one of her best friends. And you know, she knew. And also at that point, I later realized she started cutting people out of her life. Mm. She wouldn't let her friends see her anymore. Sort of one by one, she stopped seeing people. And the last friend of hers she saw was a Labor Day weekend. And she passed away on October 9th, 2001. Mm. So another reason this is a tough time of year for me.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Wow. And I would imagine so much going on through your head at that time. Did you pick up on the fact that she was cutting people out and not having as many friends engaged?
I did subconsciously, mm-hmm. but I also think I lived in a very healthy state of denial mm-hmm. that helped me manage things from day to day in a good way. You know, it was the only way I could sort of keep things going and get her to doctor's appointments and make sure she got all of her medications and just manage mm-hmm. what was going on. Because I couldn't really acknowledge that I was going to lose the most important person in my life.
And, you know, in honor of your beautiful sister comes mm-hmm. this really unique, and necessary organization as Blue Fairy. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about, if you can, the, I don't want to call it a transition necessarily, but the process of, you know, getting yourself, your whole life was different, and then here comes Blue Fairy. What was the time frame, and how did that really just solidify for you?
Well, it had been a year since Adrian passed away. If you asked me what I did in that first year, I probably couldn't tell you. Mm-hmm. I'd have to ask other people. I do remember sort of going through the motions for other people, you know. I remember celebrating the holidays and doing things, but I don't, you know, I just, you know, it's like you're not really alive. And so it's been a year since she passed away, and I realized that if I didn't do something, that I wasn't going to make it. So I decided I was going to volunteer. So I went downtown to this wonderful place in Los Angeles called the Center for Nonprofit Management and looked up all the nonprofits I could that had to do with liver cancer. And it turned out there weren't really any. I found one organization, very well-known organization, the American Liver Foundation. They had a Los Angeles chapter. I called them. And at that time, I believe their perspective has changed now. I don't want to speak for them. But at that time, their attitude about liver cancer was, well, you know, we don't deal with it. You know, they really had nothing going on as far as liver cancer. It was, there wasn't even anything on their website about liver cancer. There is now. And I thought, this is crazy. And so I really had no plan to start an organization, but there wasn't one. And I just couldn't believe it because, you know, liver cancer is the fourth most common cancer in the world. And now it's the second cause of cancer deaths worldwide. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's on the rise in this country. And I just couldn't believe it. So I called my friends and family, the people who helped me name the organization. And I said, you know, we're starting a nonprofit. We have to, you know, because no one else is doing it. And that's how it began.
Did you always see yourself as an advocate?
No, but I would say that my friends and family would say that I've always been a fighter. So.
And you clearly talked about how you see Adrian. Tell us a little bit about yourself and a little bit about who you are. I could say advocate. Who do you see yourself as?
I think advocate is a good word. I'll put it to you this way. When there's a sports team playing, and I'm not really super into sports, but I'm always rooting for the underdog. Mm-hmm. So, and I very much like to help people. And that's not unselfish on my part, because helping people makes me feel good. So I do it for me. And I want people to be advocates for themselves. You know, I'm really, really shocked at how people are not advocates for their own health care. Mm-hmm. It really surprises me on even a very small level, not on the serious cancer level, but on just a small level, mm-hmm. going to your doctor's office, asking questions. It just kind of it blows my mind.
Yes.
And since I've started Blue Fairy, family members, you know, will call me after going to a doctor's appointment and ask me questions, mm-hmm. as if I'm a doctor, and I'm absolutely not. I have a master's degree, but I'm not an MD. And I always say, well, ask questions. Your doctor should be able to answer those questions. Get a second opinion. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I can use the word advocate.
Yeah, absolutely, and many more things. Resilient. Brilliant. A convener. I mean, it's as someone in the hepatitis field myself, and knowing how few resources there are out there, how few real advocates, organizations. Thank you for in your sister's honor, you know, creating a really filling a void, you know, and helping to really help people, but fill that gap that's huge. There's just a huge void in the fields with that. And so, you know, with that, where can we find out more about Blue Fairy? And with that of where we can find out, tell us some of the stuff that you guys do engage in regards to your programs.
Okay. We definitely can find us on the web at www.bluefairy.org. We have three programs. We have our Blue Fairy Award for Excellence in Liver Cancer Research. We give that out every year on my sister's birthday on April 8th. This past year was given to Dr. Zhen Wang, amazing researcher. And we give it to doctors or scientists who are doing innovative research in the field specifically for primary liver cancer. We also have our patient education brochures. And they were the very first of their kind. And they came about because, very interesting story, when my sister was diagnosed, I received all these one-page, you know, documents about her chemotherapy. Okay, well, I wanted information about her disease. And her surgeon, who did the biopsy said, I'm sorry, no such information exists.
Mm. And I said, on hepatitis B and C?
Or on liver cancer.
On liver cancer in general.
And I said, you've got to be kidding me.
Wow.
He said, no, we don't have, there are no educational materials on liver cancer. And this is in 2001. And he said, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll make copies for my medical textbooks. And that's what he did. And bless him. So I got all, I mean, stacks of paper from his medical textbooks. And then I went, oh, my gosh, this is a foreign language. So then I had to go get a medical dictionary. Mm. And I was sitting there just translating everything. And in the back of my head, I do remember this. I remember thinking, there really needs to be some patient education materials on liver cancer in layman's terms. This is silly. You know, I mean, they clearly had stuff on chemo in layman's terms, very straightforward, but nothing on the actual disease.
And why they're getting chemo.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so we created the first brochure of its kind, and I'm really proud to say that we've been copied, you know, in one case, word for word. It was very funny. Mm. Upset one person in my organization, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the highest form of flattery, in my opinion. And so... And then we also have an advocacy award for patients who are diagnosed with liver cancer who are advocates for themselves during their disease. And that's called the Adrienne Wilson Spirit Award. And another patient inspired that award. Mm. And that's an ongoing award. Patients can apply at any time. And they receive monetary funds. And they can use that money any way they want. They can use it towards medication. They can use it toward clothes. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Vacation. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever they want.
So people could donate to that cause as well?
Yes. Yes. So you can donate unrestricted, or you can restrict to a specific program.
And where would you say, actually those brochures you're talking about, mm-hmm. people can just order them on your website, or are they downloadable?
Oh, yes. You can download the patient brochure on our website. It's available in Chinese and Spanish as well. It's free for patients, their families, and their healthcare providers. So if healthcare providers want to order, they can order as many as they want, and we ship them out, and shipping is free as well. It's been distributed in 30 treatment centers across the U.S. One of the doctors on our advisory board actually took our Chinese brochures to China with him to distribute them there, where it's, you know, it's... Huge. It's a huge problem in China, yeah. Liver cancer. So,
wow. And so what do you see next for yourself? What's big on your agenda this year with Blue Fairy?
Wow.
That's a rough question, I know, given yeah. the whole vast area there is with hepatitis C and liver cancer and where we're going with hepatitis yeah. B and viral hepatitis in general.
I know, it is. My goal for the next few years is to be the number one liver cancer advocate in the United States. And to put Blue Fairy on the map. I really believe my sister Adrienne is the Ryan White of liver cancer. And if you look back at the history of HIV and AIDS, Ryan White changed the entire narrative of that disease. And there was advocacy going on prior to Ryan White. And for people who don't know who that is, there's a wonderful thing called Google. And but when Ryan White came along, he changed the narrative because he got HIV through blood transfusions, and people suddenly realized that HIV was not a gay man's disease, that anyone could get it, mm-hmm. and here was this very young person like my sister, and it really was a wake up call, I think, yeah. for people. And my sister is not the typical liver cancer patient who used to be a non-North American male over the age of 50. Mm-hmm. And even that's changing. Mm-hmm. And that's why the doctors were just shocked at her diagnosis. They themselves couldn't believe it until they tested her for hepatitis, and then it all sort of made sense.
I hope
that answers your question.
It is. I mean, and... You know, your sister being the Ryan White of liver cancer. Where do you, talking to a fellow advocate right here and really sort of seeing that picture painted right there very yeah. clearly, What do you think that means in regards to our health infrastructure, public health infrastructure, in regards to liver cancer? I mean, how can we continue to spread Adrienne's, you know, having her be this poster child for this huge epidemic that's, you know, here?
Well, we need to have a multi-million dollar public education / advocacy campaign. I think one of the biggest challenges we have right now is the people who know about hepatitis are the people who actually are advocates or are the patients themselves, and, of course, doctors. That's a problem, mm-hmm. you know. The way that HIV and AIDS became a national phenomenon is when the public became aware and the public started to care.
And get angry.
Yeah, and get angry. And that's what we really need, mm-hmm. you know. How many people in this country have hepatitis C?
Well, approximately 4.4 to 5 million,
yeah.
conservatively speaking, I'd
right,
say.
Right, right. And most, you know, big high majority, right, don't know it.
Yeah, large.
Right. And the CDC has recommended that all baby boomers born between 1945 and 1965 get tested. And yet, you know, many of them probably don't realize they need to get tested and or may have difficulty getting that test even paid for mm-hmm. by their insurance.
Or like what you said, even asking for the test, knowing to be an advocate to say, hey, I don't know if I engaged in those things, but what is this hepatitis C thing that we're hearing about?
Right.
Or this liver cancer thing we're hearing about?
Right. I mean, there's such ignorance. To give you a great example, that when my sister was diagnosed, and again, just kind of paint the picture, 15-year-old, you know, freshman in high school, that parents of her friends, these are smart people and these are grown-ups. They asked if she was a heavy drinker. That is the misconception out wow. there. Everyone can link alcoholism to liver cancer. Yet, as I said at the top of this, more than 70% of people who have primary liver cancer actually have a history of hepatitis B and or hepatitis C. Mm-hmm. People don't know that. They don't understand it.
Right.
So we need a public awareness campaign. It's going to cost a lot of money. I think a lot of that can and should be raised in the private sector. I believe pharmaceutical companies, if they see the forest for the trees, will contribute to that sort of campaign. I still think nonprofits should run it, and we should all collaborate and be partners. But, you know, the pharmaceutical companies have these amazing drugs out and coming out, especially for hepatitis C, but they're getting a lot of flack on the cost, as if you know, as you and I both know. But they need to think about public awareness mm-hmm. because if they get the public on their side, a lot of this stuff, all this other stuff they're getting, you know, will go away.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So, what else do you want to tell us about while you're here in the good Midwestern state of Illinois, city of Chicago? What would you like to, anything else you want to let us know or anyone you want to point to or thoughts, comments, letters to the editor, anything?
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Caring Ambassadors and Jill and Lauren flew me all the way out from Los Angeles to Chicago, and I really appreciate it, even though you guys aren't having the best weather right now, but that's okay.
It's a little chilly.
Yeah, it is. I would just encourage everyone just to please be advocates for themselves and their own healthcare. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to ask questions. And if you are diagnosed with a serious illness, I don't care how much you love your doctor. You know, I don't care if you've been going to that doctor for 10 or 15 years. You should always get a second opinion.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for coming here and continuing to do what you do. And however me as an individual, our organization, Caring Ambassadors, can support you, we'd love to continue to do so. So, and thanks to your sister, Adrienne, for being such a blue fairy, you know, and just spreading her wings and doing great things in the world.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
Thank you.